So we're going to talk about the real message of Christmas. And many times through our life, fear has gripped us. You know, many times we could pinpoint something or name something, or it may have been what is commonly called as a nameless fear. You didn't know why you were afraid or what was causing it, but you knew you were afraid. Maybe that fear kept you awake at night. Maybe you thought about it all during the day. It soon began to affect everything you did. And no matter what you did, that fear wouldn't go away. It just wouldn't leave. And I believe fear can take many forms. And we're afraid of a lot of things, including things surrounding Christmas. There is even an official name for the fear of Christmas trees. And as the word is dendrophobia. Did you know there's a fear of Christmas trees? I've learned there's a fear of everything. It may seem rather odd to be talking about fear here at Christmas time. But when we look at the birth of Jesus and through his time, there's many things that were said. But the one thing that kept repeating itself was fear not through the passage. What was there about that first Christmas that would cause the angel to say that? What is there about the birth of Christ into our world that chases away fear from our worlds and from our personal lives? Fear not was so important that God would have his angel say it four times. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Let's start there this morning. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So here in Matthew's Gospels, we find that Mary is betrothed to Joseph. Among the ancient Jews, marriage consisted of three stages: engagement, betrothal, and then marriage. The engagement was usually arranged by the parents while the children were very young. Wish we could still do that today, then that would make my life easier for my kids. Could choose who they were married. The betrothal period was next and usually lasted for 1 year. During that time, the girl lived with her parents, but the couple was looked upon as being husband and wife. And during the stage of betrothal, unfaithfulness was regarded the same as adultery. After that 1 year was over, the marriage was completed and the bride went to live with her husband. It was during this period of that betrothal, the scripture says, that Mary was found to be with a child. And I just don't know what went through Joseph's mind. You know, you can see here, the angel tells him to fear not. But there were so many things that had to be going on in his mind. It must have looked to him as though she had been unfaithful to him. So there was two things he could do. One, he could make her a public example. But the law said that she would die by stoning if he did that. And I believe that Joseph very much so loved Mary. The second option was to divorce her quietly or secretly. And one night as Joseph tossed and turned on his bed trying to decide what to do, that's when God sent an angel to speak to Joseph in a dream. And throughout scripture, that happens time and time again, speaking in dreams. And the angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary as your wife. Fear not. And the angel went on to explain that Joseph would not have to be afraid because God had a purpose. And through the story here this morning, we can see that God had a purpose. In the first place, Mary had not been unfaithful. It was her faithfulness to God that resulted in her being chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. It wasn't her unfaithfulness, it was her faithfulness that she was chosen. God had a purpose in causing them to risk their reputations this way. The angel said, stop being afraid, because Joseph was afraid. But then the angel revealed God's purpose to Joseph and said, she'll bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. I think Joseph knew the purpose before Mary even knew. He told Joseph right off the bat, Jesus is going to come and save the people from their sins. No one else knew that, not even Mary. God was invading human history to redeem his people. That was his purpose, and knowing God's purpose stilled the fear and doubt inside Joseph's heart. That is what the birth of Christ means to us today. Because God had a purpose when he sent his son, we can have our fears calmed. God speaks to our doubt and says, "Fear not. I've got a purpose in all of this." And every year at this time, I think we can be reminded of that. Each and every one of us goes through different trials, different temptations, different struggles. We don't understand why certain things happen. But no matter what's happening, God has a purpose. We can't see the other side of it. We can't understand the other side of it. We may not ever fully understand it till we get there to meet him in the heavenlies. But there is a purpose for that. When you can sit back and relax and know that you're in God's sovereign will and plan, we can say, "Fear not." Charles Spurgeon said once, "Christ is the great central fact in the world's history. To him, everything looks forward or backwards. All the lines of history converge upon him. All the great purposes of God culminate in him. The greatest and most momentous fact which the history of the world records is the fact of his birth." From the very beginning, God's purpose in sending his son was to provide salvation for all of us. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Christ wasn't born to live. He was born to die. But then he was going to live again. And that was the only way that he could save us from our sins. You can see it in Matthew 20, 28, if you want to jump over there real quick. Matthew 20, 28 says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many." Look at Luke 19, 10. This is the purpose of all of this. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And we're all lost, and that's what he came for. And you can see John 3:17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Same thing in 1 Timothy. We can see it there too. First Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Joseph could have said, "I'm not going through this." I don't think Mary had an option at that point, but I think Joseph could have said, "I'm out, you know, this is not what I want to do." But when he realized God's purpose and God's plan and God's decision, he said, "I will." When we understand God's purpose in life, that's why we don't need to be afraid anymore. God's purpose in sending his son to provide us a way out, an escape from all our sins, all our problems, all of our issues. God says, "I've got a purpose, and my purpose is that through my son, Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. You can have an abundant life. You can have all the riches and glory through my son, Jesus Christ." He says, "Fear not." Look over to Luke chapter 1. The other thing I think his birth does is shows us God's promise. We can see God's promise in all of this. Luke chapter 1, verse 29 says, "When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said unto her, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. We're all familiar with the way the angel appeared to Mary and said, rejoice, you are favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among the women. And the next verse says, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. The angel's next words are, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. As the angel told it to Mary, the promise has three parts to it. You shall conceive and bear a son. His name will be Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High. Three, as a king on David's throne, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. We could go back to Genesis and see right off the bat, they began to look for the Messiah to come. The Jews were constantly looking for the Messiah to come. And even today, they're still looking for that Messiah to come. For centuries, the Jewish people have been waiting for the birth of the Messiah. Every Jewish mother hoped and prayed that her son would be that Messiah. The entire Old Testament is lit up with preparation for Christ's birth. That's in Genesis 3:15. But what God's message meant to Mary was this: Mary, I have given the world a promise that a Savior would be born of a virgin, and you are that virgin. Your son will be the Son of the Most High God, as I've promised. He would reign on David's throne forever, and that he will be. This is the promise to the world for all ages. What does that mean for us? How does Christmas show us God's promise? And most importantly, is because his promise has been fulfilled. We all know many people that have broken their promises. People promise us things all the time and say, hey, I promise I'm going to do that for you this week, next week, whatever. But people break the promise. But God made a promise that one day he would send a Savior into the world. And when he sent his son Jesus to be that Savior, that promise was fulfilled. Jesus is the one who provides us with that salvation. You know, you can go all the way back to Isaiah 43 and it says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And the Old Testament was the first hint that we would not have to be afraid anymore. If Jesus was born, if his birth came true, his promises were fulfilled, there's nothing for us as believers to fear any longer. You can see in 2 Corinthians 1:20. Talks about his promises. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. You can see it in 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. By him we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises. That is why we don't have to be afraid anymore. That is why our fears should no longer have dominion over us. Fear not. Even in 1 John it says, and this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. If you have put your faith and trust in that death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You have all that you could ever want. The birth is very important to it, but the death, burial, and resurrection is where salvation is found. And that is a promise that we can have. Jesus is the promise. Jesus is the one who provides us with eternal life. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, I want that. He is the one that dispels fear and gloom and doubt. He is the one who conquered death. Jesus is the promise, and we don't have to be afraid anymore. Look at Luke chapter 2. Lastly, we have God's presence with us at all times. Look at Luke chapter 2, 9 through 14. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. The shepherds out in the countryside are suddenly confronted by an angel of the Lord. If you're out doing your day and all of a sudden an angel appears, I think we're going to be afraid. But it says, don't be afraid. God is coming to be with you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The shepherds were terrified at the presence of an angel because they may have thought that he was coming to bring judgment upon them. When the glory of the Lord shone round about them, they were very much afraid. God's presence with them there that night caused fear to come into their hearts. And that is why the angel said, fear not. But their reaction is similar to the way many of us would react today. Many of us are afraid of the presence of God. When the angel told them to stop being afraid, not only was their terror soothed, but the angel's words had a deeper meaning as well. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. What were those good tidings? There is born to you this day a Savior. God has come into the world. From here on out, the world will be a different place. Your lives will be different because you have the presence of God with you. If we remember the angel's words to Joseph in Matthew 1, we'll recall that Joseph was told the baby's name was to be Emmanuel. In that passage of Matthew 1, it was Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. And when Jesus was born, that was the moment in history when God became one of us. Even though Jesus was crucified, risen again, and ascended to the Father, we today still have the presence of God with us. If you are a believer, if you put your faith and trust in Him, the Holy Spirit lives in you. What a promise that He has given to us. What a powerful thing He has given to us. Because Christ was born, we have the presence of God. Not only that, but the Bible promises us that because Christ was born, we are all allowed to be in the presence of God ourselves. He even told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Don't be afraid, fear not, because we are going to be together forever. He says, fear not. He said that three or four times in that passage of to Mary, to the shepherds, to Joseph. And I say that to us this morning. Fear not. I'm sure there's something that we're struggling with today, or we don't understand, or we don't think it's fair, or it's just not the way we want it. God's presence is with us at all times. God's purpose has a plan to it. The Word of God is with you today. Fear not. Jesus has been born. God has entered the world. And you don't have to be afraid anymore. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are willing to become a man, that you are willing to become a baby born to a Virgin Mary, to be born in a manger. Yes, that's an important part of the story, but the most importantly is that you lived that 33 years of a perfect sinless life, that you went to the cross of Calvary knowing at 2, 3, 4 years old that you would live a life to die for us, and you were still willing to do it. And that through our faith and trust in you and saying, yes, Lord, we believe that you died on the cross, that you rose again, we can have eternal life. The birth of your Son brought us purpose, brought the presence, brought us promises, brought us eternal life, brought us the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you for this time of year that we can remember that. And we pray in your precious Son's name.